You're listening to Qalam Institute's podcast. Visit us on the web at qalaminstitute.org and join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Qalam Institute.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Ali Zati Azim Sifati Sami Simati Kabir Shan Jalil al Qadir Rafi Izikri Mutail Amri Jalil al Burhan Fahim al Ismi Ghazil Ilmi Wasil Hilmi Kathir al Ghufran جميل الثناء جزيل العطاء مجيب الدعاء عميم الإحسان سريع الحساب شديد العقاب أليم العذاب عزيز السلطان. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في الخلق والأمر، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله المبعوث إلى الأسود والأحمر المنعوت بشرح الصدر ورفع الذكر، وصلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين هم خلاصة العرب العرباء وخير الخلائق بعد الأنبياء. أما بعد، فيا أيها الناس وحدوا الله فإن التوحيد رأس الطاعات، واتقوا الله فإن التقوى ملاك الحسنات، وعليكم بالسنة فإن السنة تهدي إلى الإطاعة، ومن أطاع الله ورسوله فقد رشد واهتدى. وإياكم والبدعة، فإن البدعة تهدي إلى المعصية، ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل وغوى. وعليكم بالإحسان، فإن الله يحب المحسنين، وادعوه فإنه مجيب الداعين، واستغفروه يمددكم بأموال وبنين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. As a Muslim, as someone who submits him or herself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the challenge that we have, the challenge that we face, and what is being asked of us is something that is very simple, but yet at the same time requires a bit of understanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this very comprehensive ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us exactly what it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects from us, what He demands from us. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اِتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ. That live with the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Live with an awareness and a realization. An awareness and a realization of who Allah is. And not, don't just try to develop or establish or cultivate this sense of realization of who Allah is, but try to do it to the best of your ability. Try to do it in such a manner that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is deserving of. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. This is very interesting state, very interesting instruction from Allah, if you will. Allah says, do not die except that you are in a state of total and complete submission. That make sure that when you leave this world, that when you depart from this world, and that this life is coming to a close, that you have been able to maintain this state, this mindset of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's our primary issue at hand. That is the number one thing we have to concern ourselves about. How can I develop a better relationship with Allah? How can I learn to live a life? Notice, not just how can I develop. We often talk about taqwa like it's a skill that is developed. We often talk about taqwa like it's a degree that you qualify for. We often talk about taqwa like it's something you go and purchase at the store or something that you test for. It's not a certification. Taqwa is something you learn to live with. You learn, you experience on how to live a life of taqwa. And that's constant awareness of who Allah is. That's a constant realization of who Allah is. And then we try to make sure that as long as we're alive, and at any time that death could come to us, it comes to me in a state, in a condition, Allah did not say of perfection. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَا إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ. That Allah did not complete the ayah by saying perfection. He did not ask perfection from us. He didn't demand perfection from us. He said that you're in a state of total and complete submission. You're submitted before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you are at peace with your decision to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's all that's being asked from us. So now that we talk about that, how can we go about in achieving that? How can we go about in accomplishing that? That's the number one question that we should all be dealing with. There's a lot of other discussions that we have and that we might have had and that we'll continue to have on the side. Do I have to do this? Do I not have to do that? Is this fard or is this sunnah? Is that necessary or is that obligatory? We'll have all these conversations and we'll continue to have those conversations. But what I want everyone here to understand, brothers and sisters alike, all of those discussions are secondary. Your primary commitment, your primary demand, the obligation is to first realize and develop a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and find peace and tranquility, find serenity within your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah is constantly on your mind. You know, when we often talk about love, you know, and whether you know about love through a personal experience or you know about love through some horribly cliche movie, all right? I don't know exactly how you've come across love, but however you've come across love, oftentimes the person who claims to be in love, what do they say? I think about you all the time, right? That's what the person says. I can't stop thinking about her. I think about her all the time. All the time I'm just thinking about her. I just want to be with her all the time. That's how people express love. We have to learn to develop that type of a relationship with Allah where Allah is always on our mind. We're always thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're always worried about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how is this seen in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Would Allah be pleased with me because of doing this, or would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be displeased with me? Is this something that I am disappointing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by means of? Or is this something that brings me near and dear and closer and shows Allah how much I love Him? So that type of a relationship we have to develop. Now how do we go about in doing that? That's the abstract. And that's been said time and time before. But how do we go about in establishing and developing that? The very first thing is, you cannot love someone. And the same concept applies here in terms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is evident within the Qur'an, within the final revelation. You cannot love someone or something until you are intimately familiar with it. That's impossible. Those are childish notions of love. That you don't know something. You don't have any idea. You have no familiarity with something. And then you just randomly develop love for it. It doesn't work that way. That's an infatuation. That's what that is. But love requires knowledge and familiarity. So first we have to get to know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And the reason why I pointed out the Qur'an, when we look within the Qur'an, when we read the Qur'an, and that's another big part of the problem, big part of the issue. For all the technical, for all the convoluted, for all the complex discussions that we get into, that we have no business being a part of, how much of the Qur'an have we read? How much of the Qur'an do we read? How much of the Qur'an do we reflect on? Do we understand? Do we sit there and ponder upon? Do we think about? And even when we do decide to open up and ponder upon the Qur'an, then what will it be? It'll be the ayah about hijab. It'll be the ayah about financial transactions. It'll be the ayah about what kind of meat is permissible to eat or not. That'll be the very first thing we'll open up and we'll start to reflect upon. When we don't even follow the curriculum of the Qur'an. The Qur'an was revealed in a sequence, in an order. Tanzeel, it was revealed bit by bit, piece by piece. It's a curriculum to follow. And when we observe the revelation of the Qur'an, we see that there was a development that was in process. There was a developmental process. And so what was that developmental process? The primary of revelation. The beginning of revelation. That led the Muslims to that point in that place where then now they were ready to engage, get hands on with the technicalities of their religion, was an introduction to Allah. هو الذي جعل لكم الأرض ذلولا فامشوا في مناكبها وكلوا من رزقه وإليه النشور. He alone is the one. جعل لكم الأرض ذلولا. He has made the earth an amazing, powerful, complex creation like the earth. Allah has made it for you, to the human being, Allah says, He has made it for you, ذَلُولًا. He's humbled it. He's made it soft. He's made it weak. Why? فَمْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبِهَا. Walk around on it. this amazing, unbelievable creation of the earth, that when it receives the permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it receives the instruction from Allah to come alive, what does the earth do to people? What does it do to homes? What does it do to these buildings and these structures that we pride ourselves upon? We're sitting here in this beautiful stadium. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the command to the earth to unleash its fury upon mankind, what would happen to this structure if a very severe earthquake came here? It would come crashing down. Such a powerful creation of Allah. Allah says, He has made it for you, dhalulan. Humble, weak, soft. Humble, soft and weak. It's underneath your feet. We mold it, we tear it, we build on it, we construct it, we dig into it. I was recently visiting somewhere, a masjid actually, and they were explaining to me the construction of their masjid, and they literally dug. They literally unearthed like an entire hill to put the masjid, to be able to place the masjid into there and build a basement and everything. They just ripped out an entire hill. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed us to do that. Famshu fi manakibiha. So Allah says, walk around. Manakibiha. Either into all corners of this earth and look at everything Allah has made possible for you, or the Mufassirun also explain manakib, like the shoulders or the shoulder blades, how they protrude out of the body. Allah says, even walk around in the mountains and in the hills and observe the magnificence of Allah's creation and how He's put everything at your fingertips. وَكُلُوا مِن رِزْقِهِ. And then not only that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this earth so humble, so subservient, so dutiful to you, that your food grows from here. And it sustains all the creatures that you consume as food as well. So eat from it. وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ. And at the end of that, then realize, let your mind get back to the first detail. Let your mind trace back to the origins of all of this. That if I love living on this earth, and I enjoy life on this earth, and I can do whatever I want on this earth, and I can eat so much that comes from this earth, who has made all that possible? Allah. Wa ilayhi an-nushur. And only to Him are we going to return back to, is the final return. Only to Him. So first, realizing who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. He's given us everything that we have. We have Him to be grateful to for everything. I don't have enough time here to talk about the concept of gratitude. Gratitude is a khutbah in and of itself. But think about it. I just highlighted one detail of what we have to be grateful for. We have to learn to be grateful. That is the very first detail. That is our introduction to Allah. This is a khutbah, so it's not interactive. Otherwise, I would love to ask you even this question. But what are the verses of the Quran called in Arabic? They're called ayat. Ayatun is a verse. That is also the same word in the Arabic language for a miraculous sign, for an amazing sign, for an immutable sign, for a sign that cannot be ignored, like a huge billboard on the freeway, like a neon glowing, flashing, big old sign on the freeway that you could not miss. You know, when you give somebody direction, you say, you can't miss it. You can't miss it. That's what an ayah is. It's a sign that you cannot miss. You cannot ignore. The only way you won't see that sign is if you don't want to see it. You intentionally try not to look at it. But even then you'll be aware and conscious of the fact that it's there. That's what all this miraculous creation of Allah is called. Allah calls the sun an ayah. Allah calls the moon an ayah. Allah says the earth is an ayah. Allah says the human being is an ayah. Your children are an ayah. Allah says that all of this creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an ayah. And then, the verse, each and every single verse of the Qur'an is an ayah. It's a sign that points you to Allah. Just like that sign, that neon glowing flashing billboard on the sign points you to something. It says, exit here. Exit here. All of these ayat, all of these signs are pointing you in the direction of Allah. Of Allah. And when these signs lead us to Allah, the very first sentiment, the very first emotion, the very first feeling that develops is that of gratitude. Because it is those same blessings that we enjoy every single day that are the signs leading us back to Allah. Allah has given us everything we have, and everything we are is given to us by Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa asbagha alaykum ni'amahu, and He has rained down, poured down, showered down upon you ni'amahu, His abundant blessings. There are two plurals for the word ni'mah, which means blessing in the Quran. There are two words for that, two plurals for that. Ni'mat and ni'mah. But ni'am, the word ni'matun has two different plurals. This plural that's used here, ni'am, is the bigger plural. That Allah has showered down upon you so many blessings that you can't even imagine. Another place in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using the singular says, "Wa in tu'uddu ni'matallahi la tuhsuha." That if you were to count the blessings of Allah, Mufassirun, they explain to us that this singular word of ni'mah is actually ismul jins. It includes everything that is counted as a blessing. But still, rhetorically speaking, why did Allah use the singular? Because we would never ever, we could spend our entire lives, but we never truly would be even to able to appreciate even one blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly. If we spent our entire lives and dedicated our entire lives to thanking Allah, to appreciating Allah for just one blessing in our lives, we wouldn't be able to do so. لا تحصوها. All of us got together and tried to do that, we wouldn't be able to do so. That's what the blessing. أَسْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَهُ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنًا. Certain blessings are apparent and some are hidden. Some are unapparent. Some require our focus. We have to remind ourselves. We have to think about them. The blessings that are apparent, obvious. Obvious. That the house we live in, the families that we have, these are blessings. And I don't, again, this khutbah could go in so many different directions. I'm trying to restrain myself from going into tangents. But we've seen so much lately. How could we not be grateful to Allah? From what happens in, what happened in Somalia, what's going on in East Africa, to the natural disasters that occur, it seems like every other week, some part of the world. And even the fact that you are here in a khutbah, free, you have this freedom, you have your own life in your own hands, you're here of your own choice, and you're attending the khutbah and you're going to be leaving the khutbah, going home to the safety of your home, the comfort of your family, the comfort of your friends. When just a couple of days ago, two nights ago, you know, the execution of Troy Davis, there's a man who's not alive today who very possibly was killed wrongfully. That man did not have freedom. But you enjoy that level of freedom. There's so much we have to be grateful for. You're not being persecuted for a crime you didn't commit. You're not living through a natural disaster. You're not living through the drought of a generation. The drought, the famine of a generation. We don't even know what a famine is. We had a drought in Texas this past summer. While the drought was going on in East Africa, there was a drought going on in Texas. 40 days of triple digits plus temperature. We didn't have rain for almost 3 months. There was a drought going on in Texas. But subhanAllah, worlds apart. While I'm driving around talking about a drought, I'm drinking cold water in my car with the air conditioning blasted. I'm talking about how there's a drought. While over there, there's a mother burying three children because they died from dehydration. We have so much to be grateful for, so much to be thankful for. We just have to learn to be grateful. We have to remind ourselves to be grateful. And then there are blessings that we don't even realize. The ability to see, eyesight. You ever sit down and just sit and ponder upon your ability to see? And not just, again, I'm not talking about just the very superficial things about seeing. Oh, I can see where I walk. I can go to work. I can go to school. No. Little things. I know what rain looks like. I know what a tree looks like. I know what my mother's face looks like. And I know this is a student audience, so y'all are still young, but there'll be a time when you'll realize the most beautiful thing in this world that you will ever see. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all with the opportunity of seeing it in this life. The most beautiful thing you'll probably ever see is the face of your child. There's nothing more beautiful than the face of your child. That's it. I know what the face of my child looks like. I can have the worst day of my life. But when I see the face of my child, all my worries are gone. I don't even remember what I went through. Everything's okay. But I have the ability to see. I know what my child's face looks like. Think about somebody who doesn't have that ability. Be grateful, be thankful. You have to sit there, you have to remind yourself, you have to ponder on these blessings. And then think how much you have to be grateful for. So that's the first step of finding our way through life. Developing taqwa. Living a life as a Muslim. One who submits peacefully, consciously, willingly before Allah. Is learn to be grateful for what you have. Once we develop this sense of gratitude, I always tell people, I always tell students in class, whenever we develop a sense of gratitude, you know, we talk about obedience, whether we have to do something or not. Leave all those discussions aside. You know, every command that initially came to us within the Quran wasn't given to us based on, you have to do that, and if you don't do that, then that's going to happen. No. We were told why that was good for us. What was the blessing in it for us? What was the benefit in it for us? And when you develop a sense of gratitude, there's something even more profound that occurs. If you've done a huge favor to me, I wasn't able to pay rent this month. I was going to be kicked out of my house. I was going to be kicked out of my apartment. And I was struggling to make rent. And you came up to me very quietly without me even asking, and just, you came over to visit and you quietly left an envelope on the table. No questions asked, no thanks, you know, being wanted, nothing, just left an envelope on the table with rent money in it. I would be so grateful to you that if you called me 2 days later and said, hey man, I'm kind of stuck at campus, I don't have a ride, could you give me a ride? I would drop everything and come give you a ride, wouldn't I? Absolutely. Because I'm grateful to you for what you've done for me. So I'd be more than willing to do anything you ask of me. When we develop a sense of gratitude to Allah, we won't need a technical discussion. We won't need a debate. We won't need an argument. Whether I have to do something or not, I'll want to do whatever Allah wants me to do. I will do whatever it is that Allah asks me to do. Because I feel that sense of obligation towards Allah. Gratitude leads to obedience. Gratitude breeds obedience. Gratitude is the seed of obedience. And once we start to live our life in that way, and there are many other, you could even call them philosophical, you could call them faith-based questions that student audiences specifically have. And I wanted to talk about them today, but again, time doesn't permit. But there are so many questions, there are so many struggles that are very specific to you as students. It's not easy. It's a very specific dynamic. I can't stand here and tell you whether your situation is tougher than any other demographic or not. I don't think that's fair to anybody to make that designation. But I can say that your dynamic, your challenge, your situation and circumstances are very, very unique to you. And there are certain questions that you grapple with. There are certain challenges, certain compromises that you struggle with. And you are always looking for the question, answer to those questions. What do I do in that situation? What do I do in this situation? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us these answers in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبًا. It's a very unique feature of developing a relationship with Allah. Something that we don't highlight enough. We look for answers. Again, because we have very analytical minds, right? Everything is a formula. 2 + 2 = 4. Or if you have this problem, then this is what you do and that's the solution to your problem. We have such analytical minds that we sometimes don't realize the bigger picture. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ. And something unique about the grammar of this ayah, the eloquence, the balagha of this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses two verbs in this little snippet, this portion of this ayah. Uses two verbs, two fi'ls. And both of these verbs are the present/future tense. What that means, that doesn't just reflect in translation, that reflects in concept, in idea, in the lessons we extract from there. And part of the benefit of using this fi'l mudari, the present and future tense verb, is that it gives the meaning of an action that renews itself. Continuity, consistency. Allah says, whosoever continues to, whosoever tries to always, whosoever pushes on forward, believing in Allah, constantly believes in Allah, strives to always maintain his belief in Allah, يَهْدِ قَلْبَهُ. And this is a conditional statement that whosoever does the first part, Allah guarantees the second part. What is the second part? Yahdi qalbahu. Allah will continue to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always guide his or her heart. Something very interesting. Allah says Allah will guide their heart. So whenever you have a difficult decision to make, whenever you're confused about something, whenever you're staring some type of a challenge or a compromise in the face, and you don't know what to do, you feel like you're torn between two worlds. The expectations that your family have of you versus your deen. Your studies versus your deen. Your social element versus your deen. Every single time you're facing those challenges, continue to remain connected to Allah. يَهْدِي قَلْبَهُ Allah will guide your heart. Allah will always give you clarity as to what you need to do in those circumstances, what you need to do in that situation. And the most basic advice that I'd like to give here, and I'll end on this point, the most basic advice I'd like to give here is there's one basic fundamental platform. One thing that I advise across the board. There are some things, values, certain values that are universal. There's one thing that I advise across the board. Because if the key element is maintaining your connection with Allah and He will guide you through all other situations that you have to deal with, then there's one primary thing that you have to maintain to maintain your relationship with Allah. There's one thing you have to establish to sustain that iman and that relationship with Allah. And that's the 5 daily prayers. 5 daily prayers. And for students, again, everybody's got a challenge. I want you to understand that. Because oftentimes, I'm married and I have 2 young children. Every time a person is in a particular phase of life or a particular situation, that person embellishes their own situation and thinks, nobody deals with what I deal with. So I think, when I was a student, I thought student life is the most difficult part of life. Now that I'm a father and a husband, I think that is the most difficult phase of life. Everybody thinks that way, all right? But again, what I will tell you is that definitely student life can be very challenging in this regard. Because you are oftentimes in less control of your time. You're at class and things like that, so you have a little less control over your time. So, what to do about prayer? When I talk about maintain the 5 times daily prayer, what I'm referring to, what I'm making reference to, is just the 5 times daily prayer, just the fard. If you can do more, do more. Definitely do more. But what I'm talking about is the time it takes to make wudu. And anybody can make a good quality wudu within 60 seconds. A minute, at the most 2 minutes. I would even venture to say anything beyond that is probably israf. Is probably wasting water at that point. And the Prophet ﷺ told the Sahaba, don't waste. They said, "Afil ma'i sarafun ya Rasulullah?" Can we waste water? He said, yes, you can waste water. And go ask the people in East Africa if we waste water or not. So, make the wudu properly, but it doesn't require more than a minute to 2 minutes of your time. And then, if you don't have any other time, pray at least your fard. That's 2 rakats in Fajr, 4 rakats in Dhuhr, 4 rakats in Asr, 3 rakats in Maghrib, and 4 in Isha. And I know, I've studied fiqh. I know that the 2 rakats of sunnahs of Fajr are very important, and then the witr in certain opinions is wajib. I know that. Like I said, before you get to that discussion, before you delve into that discussion, first make sure that you have your feet firmly on the ground. I'm not talking to the person who's already praying his sunnah nawafil. Continue to do so. I'm talking to the person who's not praying 5 times a day right now. Implement at least this minimal practice. 5 times a day. You will not need more than 5 minutes for each prayer. 5 times a day. That's 25 minutes out of your day. Spread out. Maintain your salah. That will give you the basis of your relationship with Allah. And that will give you the ability to constantly be aware, cognizant and aware of Allah. And you can work from there and you can build from there. And most importantly, Allah will guide your heart from there. Barakallahu lana wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Azim. Wa nafa'ani wa yakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-Hakim. Astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa lisa'ir al-Muslimin. Fastaghfiruh innahu huwa al-Ghafurur Rahim. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina man yahdillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعص الله ورسوله فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم اهدنا واهدي بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وصلى الله تعالى على النبي الكريم قال الله تعالى إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعدكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم ودعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقم الصلاة